We are in the middle of a series in Psalm 23, and with it being a family service and all, we also have been we're following a story about a sheep. And kids, anybody remember what the sheep's name is? Sammy. And his friend is called?
My friend.
My friend. There you go. And we're going to hear another story this morning before the message. And that'll kind of introduce our message this morning. So I'm going to ask Miss Jennifer if she would come with the story. And Kids Club kids, if you would come on up here once again and gather around. Come on up. And the rest of us, once again, we are going to say Psalms 23 together to recap it, to get it fresh in our minds as we're going to listen to the story. So can we have Psalm 23 on the overhead, please, Alice? So please, church, once again, stand with me and let's read together the psalm. Do we have Psalm 23? Okay, but we probably know most of this by heart anyway, don't we? All right, well, we have this just for some of us who need it. All right, here we go. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Please take a seat and let's listen to this story. Oh. The keyboard. Here, sorry, Jen.
It's on. How are you guys today? Are you good? Are you ready for summer to be over? Are you ready for school to start? Yeah? No. Well, what did we hear about Sammy last week? He met someone called My Friend. My Friend. Who named her My Friend? Sammy did. Because why? She didn't have a name. Wouldn't that be so sad? Yeah. Does she have a good shepherd? No, she does not. Does Sammy have a good shepherd? Yeah, we're going to find out more about that today. And you know what? The first verse that we read was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. But the next one is the next verse. It's, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So Pastor Ken's going to talk about that today, okay? So look here. The first glimmers of light peeked through the boards of the sheepfold. It's almost time, Sammy thought. It was early morning time. He knew his shepherd would be there soon because the good shepherd takes his sheep to the pasture while dew is still on the grass. Have you ever felt dew before? When is the dew on the grass? Is it before you wake up in the morning? It's pretty early if you haven't felt the dew. Dew is a source of water for sheep, but in order for them to get it, they have to get to the pasture early in the morning. Here he is, Sammy called to the other sheep. The shepherd led them out, and soon they were munching the clean, moist grass. So there's their good shepherd. You see him? Okay. Early morning was Sammy's favorite time of the day. The air was crisp, the grass was yummy, and everything was still as the night softly melted into the daytime. Sammy called out called it his quiet time. He liked to use this time to think about all of his blessings. This day, Sammy thought about how much he loved the other sheep. He looked around and he spotted old Gus. I know Gus is grumpy sometimes, but I do love him. Do you guys know a grumpy Gus? Maybe you guys do. Sammy thought. He saw Prissy. She drives us crazy with her persickiness. I can't say that word. Can you say it, Pastor Ken? We talked about this word last night and how I was going to say it.
Persnicketiness.
You know what that means? It means she's picky about everything. She's picky about the way things are done, about the way things are said. Anyways, and he smiled. But in every flock, we need a prissy sheep too. And then he saw Grandma. She was so old and feeble. And Sammy thought, we all have to help her, but she's so wise. We're all better and stronger because she's part of our flock. I know why we all love each other. It's because we belong to the same shepherd, and he loves every one of us. Sammy smiled as he thought about his kind shepherd. So the kind shepherd loved the grumpy one, the prissy one, loves Sammy, and loves Grandma too, doesn't he? Suddenly, Sammy noticed that the pasture on the other side of the fence was empty. Who do you see? Who do you see there? Oh, it doesn't look nice over there. Oh, no, the dew is almost gone, and my friend and her flock aren't even here yet, he worried. Sammy didn't see my friend at the fence until later. She looked even thinner and weaker. Hi, my friend, Sammy said, trying to sound cheerful. Where were you this morning? There was heavy dew on the ground. I was in my sheep pen. My shepherd didn't get us out until the dew was all gone. I'm sorry, Sammy said. Does he take you to the quiet stream then to get more water? The places he takes us has dirty water, and it's full of parasites. What's a parasite? Bugs and worms. Yeah, that's right. Yes? Sometimes I get sick from drinking it, my friend replied. Sammy felt sorry for my friend, but hearing these things made him more grateful for his good shepherd. Later, Sammy looked for my friend. I wonder where she is, Sammy worried. He watched the fence all day long, hoping to see my friend, and finally he thought, maybe she's over the hill, and if I go to the fence, she'll see me and come visit. When Sammy got to the fence, he was horrified. He could see my friend was in the distance, and she was cast down. She was lying on her back, and her feet were in the air, flailing frantically. Sammy knew that her blood would stop circulating, and she would die if her shepherd didn't come soon. This is a condition for sheep. They can get cast down sometimes. And Pastor Ken's going to talk about that more in his message, so you listen closely, okay? Sammy grew hysterical. He butted his head against the fence. Bah, bah, he hollered. He didn't want to see my friend die. His shepherd, who was always close by, saw. You see his shepherd looking over the fence now? Yeah. Saw Sammy's frenzy, and he ran to help him. The shepherd looked up and saw my friend, and in a flash, he jumped over the fence, and he ran to her, and he gently lifted my friend and turned her over and stood her up on her feet. Then he rubbed her legs so the blood would circulate. And finally, my friend took a few wobbly little steps. As Sammy watched his good shepherd, he remembered the first time he had become cast down. He had been terrified, but his shepherd had helped him. Afterwards, the shepherd explained what had happened. Sometimes a sheep like you can roll over on his back, the shepherd said. Sorry, can't get it up. When that happens, we say the sheep is cast down. A cast down sheep cannot turn himself back over. If someone doesn't help the sheep, he will die. He needs someone to restore him into the right position. Sammy gave the shepherd a wondering look. The shepherd smiled. You have to be careful, Sammy. A sheep can become cast down in many ways. If he lies in too soft of and squishy spot, his round little body will topple over backwards. Or sometimes a sheep gets clumped up of muds and bits of bushes tangled in his fleece and his wool, and he becomes so heavy that he rolls over. So the shepherd's important. He makes him lie down in safe places and make sure he doesn't get his fur, his wool all messy. Yeah. So be careful, Sammy. But remember, if you do become cast down, I will be there and I will help you. Sammy was thankful that his shepherd always came and restored him into the right position when he had been cast down. My shepherd never leaves me. He always watches over me, and he always comes to help me. And Sammy was very thankful for that thought. Are you thankful for that thought too, that we have a good shepherd? And sometimes we might become cast down in ways. Yeah, and our good shepherd helps us up. So next week, we're going to find out more, and I've read it, and Pastor Ken has it done already, and it's a good story. So next week, you get to find out more about Sammy and my friend and what happens, okay? All right? All right. Let's go ahead and go to our seats, okay?
You okay? Thank you, Miss Jen. Appreciate that. Oh, I can't wait to find out what happens next week now. Last week, we looked at verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The conclusion was, I shall not want. And the reason is, the Lord is my shepherd. And we took a look closely at that verse. Similarly, this week, we're going to be looking at verse 2 and the first part of verse 3. And in a similar way, we see the conclusion is he restores my soul. And the ways that he restores my soul is that he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside the still waters. Let's pray though at this time as we take a closer look at this. And let's ask God to guide us. Father, thank you for this psalm, for in this psalm there's so much about life, about you, about us, and I pray, Lord, that as we take a look at how you restore us, you would minister to our very hearts. Lord, are there any in this room who are not part of your sheepfold? They do not yet know you as their good shepherd. I pray for them. Lord, I cannot save them. I cannot rescue them. But I pray for them. I pray, Lord, that they would come to understand you better, that they would see you, that they would see Jesus and all that he has done for us, and that they would come to faith, that they would trust him, that they would look to him to save them, to be their shepherd. So, Lord, do a good work in this place, we ask. Guide our thoughts as your people, Lord. I pray that we would also understand this restoration that you do in our hearts. If there are any who are struggling in here, who are hurting, who have felt cast down in many ways themselves, I pray, Lord, that they would look to you to restore them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we're going to take a look at the business of restoration. That's point number one, the business of restoration. Look at the expression in the psalm, he restores my soul. The very literal translation of this would be, he causes my life to return. He causes my life to return. That word restore means to replenish, to return to an original state. Restoring my soul means God keeps me going. God gives me life. He gives me the enjoyment of the life that he gave me. He gives it back to me. It's not just some physical restoration. At times we may be physically ailing and we go to the Lord and say, Lord, if you would heal me from this, please do. But even at that, that's a temporary, short-term restoration. But the verse says he restores my, what? My soul. My soul. The Hebrew there is nephesh. Nephesh. And It can be translated soul, life, heart, or mind. Nephesh is the word used in Genesis chapter 2 when God made man and he breathed into his nostrils. And the Bible says that he became at that time, at that point when God breathed into him, he became a living soul, a living nephesh. He became a living soul. Soul refers to that immaterial part of you, the immaterial part of you that survives beyond this life when your body gives out and dies. It is who you are. It is that which God has given to us as people made in his image. When God made Adam, what did he make him out of? Do you remember? Okay, the dust. He made him out of the dust of the earth. Doesn't go into a lot of detail. Maybe it doesn't need a lot of detail. But God formed this body and made it out of the dust of the earth. And it was man. It was Adam. But it was just a physical body until God breathed into him his life. And then the Bible says he became that living soul. There was something different. That part of Adam that is eternal, that part of Adam that will exist forever, God gave him that. Two aspects of restoration, two aspects I want to share with you. The restoration of the sinner, the restoration of the saint. The sinner and the saint. Again, if the phrase "he restores my soul" literally means he causes my life to return, the question is, what happened to life? What happened to life? Look at Ephesians 2. Can we show this verse? Ephesians 2. Read this with me, okay? This is a good verse. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Read it out loud. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Who's the you? It's us. It's you. It's each one of us. And Paul's reminding them, you, he, God made alive because you were dead because of trespasses and sins. Trespasses against God and what he has declared are sins, which are all disobedience towards God. We were dead in our sins. And the Bible says that because of Christ, God has made us alive. He restored us. We had no life. But because of his grace and love and mercy, he's restored us to that life. You were dead in sins. Sin always brings death. Back to Adam in the garden, God told them very clearly, Adam, he gave one law only. Those were the great days. There was only one law to remember. What was it? They didn't have the Ten Commandments. They didn't have the books of Moses. They had one law. Do not eat of this one particular tree. What was the tree? The knowledge of good and evil. So God, in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, for whatever reasons, and sometimes I've questioned, why God? Why the tree in the garden? If there was no tree, then we would never have fallen. We would all be in a perfect state still, right? And that's my thinking. But God in his wisdom, and we trust, and we give God that. He is wise. We are just people. But God in his wisdom, there was a tree in the garden, and God said, don't eat of this tree. Don't do it. He says, the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Okay, sin brings death. I find it interesting too. It doesn't say, Adam, the day you eat of this tree, I'm going to kill you. It says, the day you eat of it, you will die. Don't do it, Adam. It's like a parent giving a child a warning. You touch the stove and it's going to burn you. And we want our kids to be warned. We don't want them to be burned. We want to warn them of it. So what do? If they reach up, then we grab their hand and we touch it against the flame and say, ah, I told you it would burn. I hope you don't. But we warn them and say, there's consequences. And sin brings death. That's the consequence. Sin leads to death. All sin leads to death. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, going on in the next verse, Paul continues, in which, verse 1 concludes, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the power, or the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. What he's describing here is our activity while we were dead. We were dead, but there was activity going on. But we were dead. God sees death quite different than we do. We see death as someone whose body stops working and we bury them. God sees death in a different light. And it's a spiritual death. And these people that are being described here, and it's us, it's mankind, it's describing their activity while dead. And it says, you walked according to the course of the world. That means you were living your life according to the world. The values, the things that are important to the world, the ways of the world, that's the way you were living your life. It says you conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh. That is whatever lust was in you, that's what you did. You were a slave to it. The Bible says all who are not in Jesus Christ, you're a slave to sin. You're a slave to it. The world likes to think and try to make people think that those who are Christians, they're slaves. And they're told what to do and what not to do. And you're just a slave to your religion, a slave to God. But according to the Bible, it's those who are outside of Jesus Christ that are slaves, slaves to sin, slaves to the world. And they will obey it. It says, you sought to fulfill the desires of the flesh and the mind, and you were by nature children of wrath. And that's God's wrath. So by nature, we were children of the wrath of God. We were under his wrath, slaves to sin. But notice the very next two words of the next verse, verse 4. It says, what are the two words? But God. Aren't you thankful for those simple words? This is who you were. This is what you were. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. This is what God has done. God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive. He restored us. God is the restorer of the sinner. Salvation, the restoration of our souls, is a gracious work of God. Have you been restored? Has your soul been restored? Has your soul been made alive to God? This is what salvation is about. And God is about restoring. There's the salvation of sinners. And then there's the restoration of sinners. Then there's the restoration of the saint. Who are the saints? Who are the saints? And don't go saying, oh, there's St. Paul and St. You know, there's also St. Ken. There's St. Jen. St. I.G. St. Joy. You know, that's biblical. We are saints in Jesus Christ. Saint, you know, its meaning is set apart, a holy people, a sanctified people. And that's what we are in Christ. And so you're a saint. You are a saint in Jesus Christ. Now, I think some people get this funny notion, and it comes from the Catholic tradition, that only the Catholic Church can identify and name saints based on, well, it's long after a person's death usually, and based on works that they had done, and if they think they should be qualified now for heaven. And so we get this notion, oh, saints are these people, will never be saints. Other people, maybe they're saints who are lived a long time ago. But if you're a child of God, you are a saint. That's who you are. It's your identity. You're a saint. Live as a saint. Live as a child of God. That's our challenge as God's children, as saints. The restoration of the saint, though. This morning's story with Miss Jennifer, we saw poor my friend get cast down. This is a unique phenomenon, apparently, among sheep. It's interesting. It's kind of humorous. Sheep, as we looked at last week, they're not the most intelligent beings or creatures. And so, yes, there are times when a sheep can get knocked over and they cannot get up and they can die. They will give up and die in that position. I was doing some looking to see how widespread this phenomena is. It's not something that happens every day in every flock, no, but it does happen. And there was a forum, even in New Zealand, among sheep farmers, and questions came up, what happens when my sheep is cast? Usually it's just called cast, not cast down. But what happens, why is my sheep getting cast, and what do? I get him up, and he's still not seeming right. So it does happen. I decided to look for some videos, and there are some humorous videos on sheep getting cast. But it's a serious thing. You want to see a cast sheep? Would you like to see a short video of a cast sheep? Do we have a short video of a cast sheep? Okay, we got that. Take a look at this guy. Oh, he's on his back. He cannot get up. Ate too much grass. So a little help, and he's off. Okay. So that's a sheep that's been cast down. How does it happen? There's a number of ways. Often it's when they are heavy pregnant, or if their wool is really, it's quite grown and they become a bit top heavy, or like the story says, in the wool they get a lot of stuff that's weighing it down more. And if the ground is soggy or unstable, and it just can happen, and they cannot get up on their own, and quickly they will just kind of give up and they'll literally lay and die in a relatively short time. This is what it means to be cast down. And this image is used in Psalms several times to describe the writer's walk with God. Who was the writer of most of Psalms? David. What did David do? He was a king, right? But before he was a king, he was a shepherd. And he spent a lot of time in the field. And so we have used, like in Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." This is David expressing in some terms and language that he knew well, and that's how he felt. He's undone. He's helpless. He's cast down. He cannot do anything. This is after his time that he had committed sin, and he was suffering greatly through it and because of it. Psalm 43, verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul, once again? And there's others. But then David cries out to God the following prayer in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. His prayer to God during this time, while he felt his soul was cast down, and he cries out, God, restore me. David, a man after God's heart, a man who loved God, but a man who struggled. And at this time when he says, my soul is cast down, he cries out to God for restoration, because God restores. Only God, the good shepherd, can restore us. What causes a saint to be cast down? What causes a saint to get to that kind of position? Let me give you two possibilities. The first one is easy. Personal sin. This can happen. This is what happened with David, didn't it? David had sinned, and he'd sinned badly. In that whole episode with Bathsheba and her husband and all, he sinned. And he suffered so much for it. He suffered so much. And in Psalm 51, verse 2, David says to the Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned. And there are times, saints, that we need to come to God with this very prayer and ask God to wash us and acknowledge, confess, and say, God, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you and you only. And Lord, would you restore me? Restore the joy of my salvation. Forgive me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us. Acknowledge, God, against you I have sinned, and ask God by his grace to wash you thoroughly from your sin as well. This is not the same as our need for salvation, our calling out to the Lord and him making us new creations and restoring us in that way, making our souls alive to him. But this is a matter of ongoing a walk in fellowship with the Lord. And at this time, David's fellowship with God was broken because of personal sin. And that's why he cried out, God, restore to me again the joy of your salvation. There's some times in our lives we need that. And maybe you need that right now. Maybe you need that this morning. For sure, personal sin breaks our fellowship with God. But it's not the only thing that may make us feel cast down. Let me share with you the second thing that may cause saints to be cast. The second thing is the burdens of life. And there are burdens. Amen? There are burdens that we face in life. And each one of us faces different burdens at different times. I like to read from the book of Habakkuk. Or some may say Habakkuk. Quick poll. Who says Habakkuk? Who says Habakkuk? And who never heard of this word before? Look up your Bibles, guys. Read your Bibles. It's in there. I like to read Habakkuk because Habakkuk opens up his heart to the Lord in the first couple of chapters. And he is just very frank, having a conversation with the Lord. And he waits for the answer from the Lord. But he pours out his heart to him. In verse 2 and 3 of chapter 1, Habakkuk says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises." Do you see the burdens of life Habakkuk is facing? The Lord didn't cause these things. But these things are in the world, and they're around Habakkuk, and he sees it taking place, and the violence, the wrongdoing, the sin. And he says, "God, why are you allowing me to see this? Why is this always before me?" And he struggled with it. And in this world, you will have burdens. We understand that. You will have burdens. It's the world that we live in. We live in a sin-fallen world. This is not heaven. There is coming a time when God is going to restore everything to perfection. And we will live in a perfect world. And there won't be unrighteousness. And there won't be injustice anymore. There also won't be things associated with it like death and sickness and suffering and pain and evil. Each week you can read in the papers of the evil that takes place in our world. I was just looking again this morning at another shooting in an airport. And each week something happens, and we can say, "Lord, why?" Maybe in your life, you felt the burdens of life. Things have happened, and they've weighed you down. And maybe like David, you feel cast down, and you can't get up. Go to the Lord, as Habakkuk did, and pour out your heart to him, and cast your cares upon him. As Peter says in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Go to the Lord. He can take it. And he is the good shepherd. And he takes care of you. And when you are cast down, he is the one that can help you get up again when you're incapable. So yes, personal sin is an issue. If there's personal sin that is unconfessed in your life and it's continuing, and you know it's wrong and it's displeasing to our good shepherd, I urge you, go to him first thing today, early on in this year. Confess it before the Lord. Say, "Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Maybe that's your need this morning. But maybe some of you have just been through life's troubles and you felt like you've been in a washing machine just being tossed around, and you've been through it. And it's affected you, like it affected Habakkuk when he saw the troubles around him constantly and continually, and it's affected you. Go to the Lord. Lay your cares upon him, your burdens. Do that this morning. Back to our Psalm 23 text, though. Now that we know there are times that we may be cast down and God can restore us, how does God restore us? The how part. Back to Psalm 23, verse 2, the means of restoration. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So we have the pastures, we have the waters, we have the green pastures and the still waters. In Hebrew, green pastures literally just means tender grass. Tender grass. Then the story, the Sammy, he was speaking of the grass in the early morning, the dewy, lush, wet, and green grass that is so good for them, so yummy. Why lie down? He makes me to lie down. Why lie down? And by the way, when it says he makes me lie down, it doesn't mean he whacks us over the head and makes us lie down flat on our back. No, it's because of where he has taken us and his love and care for us and is leading us that we can lie down in this. And it causes us that because that's what happens when we are at rest. When we are not fighting, when we are not working, we're able to relax and lie down in these green pastures that God has prepared for us. The Lord gives us rest for our souls. The tender green grass is not unlike that bread that Jesus spoke of in John 6 when he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. Go to him for that spiritual nutrition, the spiritual food that he provides for us. And it satisfies the soul in a way that physical food can never fully satisfy the physical body. But Jesus can satisfy the soul. It's a permanent satisfaction that comes from being in Jesus. What he offers is life through him. Come to him. Follow him. Obey him. Walk with him. Listen to him, his words. And you also will live off of that bread of life or the green pastures that Psalms is talking about. Then there's the still waters. He leads me beside still waters. God says, what are you doing over there? Come over here. This is where the water is quiet. This is where it is clean and pure. This is where you will be refreshed. My living water is deep and plentiful. It restores your soul. Sheep are scared by troubled waters, and so are we. But God provides the still waters of his thirst-quenching experience. He can satisfy your deepest longings every time you turn to God, every time you turn to him. John 7, verse 37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Go to him, go to Jesus, and drink of him. Learn of him, follow him, know him, stay close with him, walk with him, obey him. This passage, Jesus is talking about a spiritual thing. Just as physical water is necessary for life, you can go a short time without water. Not very long though, right? Just a few days, and then your body starts causing problems. It starts shutting down, and you will die soon. We need to have that water intake. But spiritual water is necessary for spiritual life. Jesus said he is that water and there is none other. He's the water. He's the bread of life. And notice the word beside. He leads me beside the still waters. This isn't some go down into the river and come back out again experience. Beside the still waters is where you need to live your life. It isn't a monthly thing. It's not a weekly thing. It's daily. It's a continuous replenishing. You're walking with Christ beside still waters, drinking in his presence. You're alone with him. It's quiet, and he's restoring you. And God wants you to lie down in green pastures, and he wants to lead you beside the still waters. He wants to restore your soul. Are you making it a regular daily habit to let him? My friends, whatever your need is today regarding restoration, he restores my soul. Jesus is here to meet you. Whether it's coming to him for rest in salvation, and he restores your soul because you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and you are at enmity with God, and he restores your soul. Or whether it's a restoring a soul that's been cast down as a saint, cast down through either personal sin or through the burdens of life. Come to him. Come to him for restoration. God wants to restore you this morning. Would you stand with me, please? My friends, it's time for our invitation. And whatever your need is, I urge you to come to the Lord. As I've said, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus, you've never come to him as the good shepherd, if God is speaking to your heart right now, I want you to do something, and that is come forward. Come here in just a moment. Come forward and let me know God is speaking to me, Pastor Ken. I want to trust him today. I need his salvation, his restoration of my soul. And my brothers and sisters, saints, fellow saints, if you've been feeling like you've been cast down at this time, as David expressed, whatever it's from, it might be some personal sin in your life that you need to spend some time with the Lord over. Or it might just be the burdens of life that you have witnessed and seen and that have hit you hard. I urge you this morning to come to him. Cast your cares upon him. Lay your burdens before him. And say, Lord, I can't handle this on my own. I need you. I leave this with you, knowing that you care. And you're far more capable than I ever could be at handling these kinds of burdens. So my friends, whatever your need is, this is your invitation time. Lord, I pray that you would direct and guide us now. Thank you, Lord, that you care. Thank you that you are the restorer of souls. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Just next few moments, if you would, come. This is your time to respond to him. What is your need? If you'd just like to come and spend some time in prayer, this is your time. If you'd like someone to pray with you, come. Come. We have to close soon. We have to close the invitation soon. But again, my friends, if God is speaking to your heart, you respond to him, please. Lord, I lift up these people here. Lord, I ask you to work in their hearts and lives. For the soul who has never tasted the goodness and grace of your salvation, I pray that, Lord, your Spirit would continue to work and stir in the heart, convict them and draw them. Lord, I pray for the souls who maybe have felt cast down through whatever means and reasons, that you would restore to them the joy of their salvation once again, that they may serve you this year, that they may live for you. Lord, that they may point others to you and to your goodness and your restoration. Thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd. May we walk, Lord, with you. May we lie down in those pastures and beside your still waters. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat, and we just have a few announcements this morning.